Well, after seeing everything that took place with the Frankenstorm, they called it, because it was this huge hurricane coming from the south, and then it met two storms coming from the cold front in Canada. So they called it the Frankenstorm because it happened. So we're not going to put blame on any one person. We're going to use the Word of God and see what God says is the cause for these kind of things. Now, you can read the blessings and cursings in Deuteronomy 28. And if you're online, you can go to Church at Home and you can download them for yourself. All right? So because we're the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, and I think here in America we have part of every single one of the 12 tribes, this covenant still applies to the nation. Now, to the church, there's a special covenant in addition to that, which then is the covenant for eternal life. Now, the nation was never promised eternal life. Only certain of the very first of the first fruits were the ones. Now, here in Deuteronomy 4, verse 1, "And now, O Israel," just put your name there so it makes it personal, "hearken to the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you in order to do them so that you may live." God doesn't want to kill people. God does not want to bring catastrophe upon them. "And go on and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you take away from it, so that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." And then he reminds them what happened when they went after Baal Peor. Now, this is a very interesting thing, isn't it? He mentions that in verse 3. Now, people say, well, you know, you should have joined to those pagans. True, should not have. But have you? One of the great sins of Israel, we'll see it a little bit later, is that they professed the name of the Lord, but they worshipped other gods and kept the days of the other gods instead of the ones that God commanded, and said, we're delivered to do these things. Same way today. Oh, we have the Bible, but you don't have to read the Old Testament. Oh, we have the New Testament, but most of the things except the what the Apostle Paul wrote, we don't have to pay any attention to. Now, is that taking away and is that adding to? Others say, well, we have the traditions of the fathers. We have the traditions of the church. Well, Baal means sun god. Peor was the subname of the god, Baal Peor. And some of the children of Israel went over there to be with him at one day. Put a festival right outside the camp and sent all the good-looking women to entice them over, and they could eat flesh, they could eat bread and all of those things. And God told them, don't go. But they did. Now, verse 3. "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor." Now, just put anything in there you want besides Baal Peor. Okay? See what God did with this storm. See what God did with this drought. See what God did with this flood to wherever it came. Okay? "For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men that followed Baal Peor." So the thing is this, whenever we go against God, God is judging us. Now he gives us an opportunity to repent. We'll see that. And this is important for us to understand. Now then, for those he's talking to here, he said, "But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. And I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it." Now, did we, when we founded the United States of America, say that God gave us this land? Yes, indeed. Did we make a covenant with God right in the Constitution? Yes. Did we acknowledge God? Yes. Were the founders, at least in the letter of the law, understanding of law, understanding of the things that they were doing? Yes. And of course, then we conquered it and went from sea to shining sea. Little sidebar. When you read of the descendants of Israel in Genesis 49, the firstborn was Reuben. But Reuben sinned and went up on his father's bed and laid with the handmaid of Leah. So he lost the birthright. The birthright for the firstborn is the possession of the land. Now, since Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rebekah, the firstborn of Rebekah was Joseph. So the firstborn property rights transferred to Joseph. Now, it very well may be that France is the modern remnant of Reuben. And what did he give for a very low price to the descendants of Joseph? The Louisiana Purchase. So there you have a transfer of the birthright to Joseph. So God made us a great nation from sea to shining sea, with the fairest land of all, great mountains, great rivers, great plains, productive, and God blessed us. God fulfilled his promise to Abraham in giving it to us. So God says, do these when you go into the land to possess it. And what was the one book that all of the settlers carried with them? The Bible. As a matter of fact, Abraham Lincoln learned to read by reading the Bible, supposedly by candlelight. So it's really quite something when you stop and think all of the things that are involved in it. Okay? And by the way, our editor Phil Neal is writing a book on Manasseh in the last days. So we will have some good information on that. But let's go forward here. And you shall keep, verse 6 now, keep and do them, for this is your wisdom, not our godless education that we have today, and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is so great whose God is so near to them as the Lord our God is whenever we call upon him? And what great nation has statutes and judgments that are so righteous as all this law which I set before you today? Now there was one ambassador from a South American country, and he was talking with an American governmental official, and they were talking about all the dictatorship and the harsh things that have been happening to those in Latin America and South America. And he says, here in America, you're free. And he said, the reason that I can see you're free is because you have God. See, just like it says here. Now, most of them look and say, well, you may have had God, but the blessings are being withdrawn, replaced with trouble and difficulty and curses. All right, now let's see. There's a warning here. Here's a warning. Again, take it personally. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Teach them to your children and your children's children to remember the day that you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me and I will make them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth and they may teach their children. Now that's what God wants. See, But God has also given free moral agency. He's not going to force it upon us. We need to choose, and we need to choose what is right. Okay? Now, let's see what else God said concerning going into the land. And I want you to think about it. Let's come to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Now, I've covered this before, but let's go ahead and cover it again. Let's pick it up here, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 6. And you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his way, his ways, to fear him, for the Lord your God brings you into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you shall eat bread without scarceness. Now, those who have been pushed out of their homes because of the hurricane, some of them are hungry. Some of them haven't eaten for several days. Even some of them have done dumpster diving to try and find food. But look, has there ever been famine in America? No. But look how quickly it could come. Just within 3 days, and we've discussed that before in the past. Now notice verse 9, continuing here. You shall not lack anything in it. Are any of us deprived of anything? No, we have so many things that are, too many kids are spoiled brats today. I mean, sometimes it becomes unseemly if you go to a department store or a grocery store and there are little children there that can't get their way. You know. A land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills you may dig copper, and that means gas and oil and whatever else is beneath the soil. Now, here comes a warning, and this always happens. Now, I want you to put in your notes Revelation 3, verse 14 through 21 about the Laodiceans, because this kind of thing even happens to the church. So he says, when you have eaten and are full, we have that today? Yes, we're all full. Some of us are even a little more full, so we're plump. And some are more plumper than others. In German, they have an expression for it. If you're kind of a little bit like me, you're dick, which means thick. Okay? A little more, you're dicker. If you are huge, you are omdicksten. Okay? Isn't that what we are? And isn't it true? Once you get it on, you can't get it off. All right? And they're full. Do we eat to the full? Our children eat to the full? Yes. Try watching any sport game, say on Sunday, and what do you have? You have the barbecue going, you have all the snacks, the kids have all their drinks, everybody has everything, and they can sit down right in the front room and they can watch their football game. Now they have a great time if their team wins. And if their team doesn't win, then Dad gets really down. Look at it. Think of everywhere. Think of all the food you can get anywhere at any time. And then compare that to some countries like Kenya, like Zimbabwe, like Darfur, like places in Asia. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware. Now here's a warning, because this is what has happened. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you today. Okay? Now notice, he repeats it, verse 12. See, God wants to give you every kind of good food to eat. There are only a couple of things he says don't eat because they're not good for you. See? lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and lived in them. And yes, are we that way today? Yes, indeed. Think about all those goodly houses right out there, oceanfront property. Probably to build a house out there, you're looking into $1 million for just a small lot and a modest home. Now, if you got lots of money, and there are a lot of people back there in New Jersey and New York that make a lot of money, they have bigger homes, and they're lined up one after the other. They have beachfront property. Everything there. Every convenience you would want. Now it's all gone. Now imagine there are a lot of people saying, well, why did God do this? Why did he destroy this? Well, let's reverse the question. Have you been loving God? Have you been remembering his commandments? Have you put him above everything else in your life? Have you been occupied with making money? Have you been occupied with sports? Have you been occupied with hobbies? Have you been occupied with just where you work? And you have things to where the only thing you can do is get up and go to work and come home and go to bed and get up and go to work and come home and go to bed. God is not in your thoughts at all. How many people have devoted their lives to lying and cheating and stealing and adultery and fornication and perversion and cheating and thievery to where it's hard to find brotherly love in some places, especially at the gas stations where the gas is running out. They've had fist fights and one man pulled a gun on another man. How's that for brotherly love? What did Jesus say? If someone asks for your coat, give him your cloak. If he wants you to walk a mile with him, go too. See? Now notice what happens here. Verse 13. And when your herds and your flocks are multiplied, why, we eat more meat per person than any country in the world. But what afflicted our herds the last 3 years? Drought. So they had to be killed. There are fewer. Same way with our flocks. And your silver and gold is multiplied. Oh, we gave away our silver and gold for a fiat paper, a currency. And what do we have? Mountains of debt. And all that you have is multiplied. Well, from the time Dolores and I first got married in January 1965, so it will be 48 years this, okay? All right. When we started out, everything we owned, we put in a car, the back seat in the trunk, and we went out on our honeymoon on the way to Eugene, Oregon. And after we were there for a while, then they ordained me and sent us over to Boise. And when we left Boise, we left with the car full, the back seat full, and a U-Haul trailer, a little one. So later, when they wanted to, a year later, they wanted to hook up Boise with Salt Lake, then we had to move down to Salt Lake. So we had to rent a U-Haul truck. Well, when we left 8 years later, after two children and living in a two-story house and everything we have to own, they had a moving van, which took about two-thirds of our stuff, come and take it, because they were moving several ministers at a time. Then they had to send another moving van to get the rest of it. Now when we moved up here, they had to do the same thing and have a second truck. Well, we haven't moved since then. So, if we move, Dolores is going to have us go through everything with her process. Her process is this, because we lack nothing. We have everything. You know, how many pairs of shoes do you have? You know, you open up the closet, look at everything, say, oh, nothing to wear. Okay. And there's everything there. And once in a while, Dolores gets something she bought 2 years ago, and she puts it on, and I said, where did you get that? Oh, I've had this for a couple of years. I said, but I haven't seen it. Well, this is the first time I've worn it. Okay. So we have everything. Stop and think. How many TVs do you have in your home? How many media devices used to be called cell phones? How many computers? Everything. Lights, food, gas, heat. You know, you get up in the morning, it's cold, boop, push a button, the heat comes on. If it's too hot, click it over, air conditioning comes on. Okay? You have everything. So if we ever have to move, and I don't know how that's going to work, but Dolores has a surefire method. You sit down with a pile of your stuff, whatever it may be, your stuff, okay? And you ask three questions. And it's, is it a friend? Now, a friend is something you can use. Is it an acquaintance? You may be able to use it, but do you really, really want it? And then the hardest one, is it an enemy? Now, an enemy is something you need to throw away. It's just laying around, taking up space. So you try that sometime. You go to your closet and start cleaning it out. Now, Dolores has done this to get rid of stuff, and then she's had me take it down to the Goodwill here because we have one in town. And that's how she would do it. And she would go through friend, acquaintance, enemy, friend, acquaintance, enemy, friend, acquaintance, enemy, okay? And then she'd give me one little bag to take down to Goodwill. So we all have everything that we want, right? More than we need, you know. You sit there at the television and you have four remote controls. You open a refrigerator and it's stuffed with food and you say, what am I going to eat? I don't want anything here. See? Now notice, if you don't have God, what happens? Verse 14, then you become haughty of heart or arrogant, narcissistic, selfish, and you forget the Lord your God. And that's what people have done. Along that section of the East Coast, you have the greatest number of atheists and agnostics. You have the greatest number of those who are the super elite who are educated. You have the sharksters of Wall Street. You have all of those things there. And you ask the question to them, how do you like being out of your home? Oh, it's terrible. And then how about some of those people that were in the hotels and Mayor Bloomberg wanted to go ahead and have the race for a while, and the hotels were actually putting people out of the hotels who had no place to go. How's that for brotherly love? Eh? And you ask the question, well, how does that feel? Oh, that's terrible. No place to go. How about those who went home and all they saw was the foundation? There was nothing left. A few shards of this and that and a few pipes sticking up out of the foundation. Everything else blown away. What are you going to do? You don't know what you're going to do for the what? Next how many ever months before they finally get around to building a house? And with all the bureaucratic restrictions, it'll probably be 2 years before people get back into their homes. Ask the question, well, why did God do this? I didn't deserve this. I worked hard for it. I paid for it. We just got the mortgage paid off. And now it's gone. But you forgot God over a long period of time. Collectively, in America and in the States and in the education, they have removed God from government. They have removed God from schools. And even removing God from churches. Someone sent me a little email of a picture of a little boy trying to read a Bible in school, but he's got a chain on his hands and said forbidden. Then it showed another picture of a whole group of jihadists in America bowing down to worship Allah. And that's permissible, but you can't read a Bible. kick God out of our lives. We're too interested in sports. We have no time for God. After all, I got to follow along what my team is doing. Baseball, basketball, football, soccer, hockey. What else do they have? Horse racing. Others will say, oh, well, I couldn't possibly keep the Sabbath because, you know, we go out every Friday night and we're nightclubbing and we're dancing. We're having a good time and our kids go to the concert. Oh, no, we couldn't keep the Sabbath. So you don't like being kicked out of your home? You don't like some of your friends and neighbors dying? Well, God has feelings. How does God feel when you say, no trespassing, God? How does God look at things when they say, you must teach evolution? You cannot believe in God. See, because we became arrogant. Okay? Now, come down here to verse 17. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Now, what was the first thing that Governor Chris Christie said? We are Americans. We are productive. We are workers. We will rebuild and be stronger than before. No mention of God. No mention of humbly asking God to forgive the sins. No. No, no, no. We'll do this on our own. See? But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant, which he has sworn to your fathers as it is this very day. And it shall be, if you do at all, forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods, serving them and worshiping them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Yes, perish. As the nations whom the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. So that's why God doesn't like it when he's kicked out of the home. God does not like it when parents encourage their sons and daughters to engage in illicit sex. God does not like it when perversion is taught in schools. God does not like it when there are homosexual marriages endorsed by the leader of the country and the what the Bible would call the princes of Israel, the senators and representatives and governors. And then they wonder why. They wonder why this happens. What they need to ask the question is, why was it not worse? All right, let's come here to Isaiah 30. Let's see a prophecy of this very thing. Of this very thing. You know, I was surprised, even right here in Hollister. Had Halloween. And I walked into the bank because I had to make some deposits and things. And here, the whole first floor is decorated for Halloween. Everywhere. Well, I bit my tongue. I didn't say anything. But, you know, if I would have said, you know, what you're doing here is evil and against God. Would you like to close your account, sir? Thank you. Good comment was made. I've never heard this before, but someone justified celebrating Halloween, which is honoring the dead and being in connection with Satan the devil, by taking the verse where Jesus said to the man who said, let me go bury my father. And he said, let the dead bury their dead. And they turn around and read it, let the dead celebrate the dead. See? Oh, this gives us permission for Halloween. You talk about blinded. Had someone gouged out their eyes or something? You know. All right, let's read it here. See? Verse 8, Isaiah 30. Go now, write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book so that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. And that's us right today in the end time, and we have it right in our hands, don't we? Yes. That this is a rebellious people, lying children. They are children who will not hear the law of the Lord. Who say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions. Just like everything like on is on television, it's all an artificial reality. It's all an illusion. It's all prescripted, and many of these soap operas are prescripted by perverts and homosexuals, designed to break down the barriers of, how should we say, opening the door to widespread illicit sex. And they can't sell one thing without some woman's body. It's amazing. Everything is happy. I've said this before, but I just have to say it again. There's this one ad by UPS. You've probably seen it. Here there's a little boardroom meeting, and they're going around and they're saying, well, how do you feel about this? I'm happy. The next person, I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. And then comes in a message that this one delivery is not going to make it to the person where it needs to be. And they say, well, I'm unhappy. So then the errand boy comes in with his little cart and he says, oh, by the way, if you use UPS, you can have them reroute it to where the customer is. Oh, we can. So they do that. Then it shows the recipient of the package. Next scene, I'm happy. So then it comes back to the room where they were having their conference and it goes around again. I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. Pray tell, show me one that says, I'm sad, I'm miserable, I'm rotten, you know? Well, it's almost there if you listen to the disclaimers for the medications. You may have depression, thoughts of suicide, internal bleeding. You may have brain aneurysms. Wonderful, see? But it's going to help you, and everybody's happy, 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 happy. You know, you show me what, all of that is an illusion. See? And so when something, a reality of a hurricane comes and poo, destroys everything, then they say, this is unbelievable. Well, it is. Hold on. Lest you change. You haven't seen anything yet. That's just a little more than a sneeze from God. All right? Verse 11. Go out of the way, turn aside out of the path, and cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. That's why it came upon them. They have forgotten God. Notice what God says. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you have despised this word. You know, go in there. Right in the mix of those people. How about sitting down with those lovely union men who got angry and almost, I don't know if they assaulted those who came from Alabama and told them, get out of here, scab, after they drove 1,400 miles to help them. To help them get electricity, which they don't have. To help them get food, which they don't have. To help them get water, which they don't have. See? No, no. If you get that whole union group in there, and you say, all right, everybody, sit down. We're going to have a Bible study here on what God says, how we need to love our neighbor. How do you think they'd react? What union do you belong to? God's. Just reminded that one governor got angry at Mitt Romney because he suspended his campaign and told everyone, instead of coming to hear a campaign speech, you bring food and things and we'll load it up in my campaign bus and we're going to send it over to people who suffered from the hurricane. And the governor got angry at him for doing it. That shows you what we're dealing with. Now, there was one scene. How many watched the Waco burnout with Koresh? Okay, you saw that. There's one clip which was only shown once where there were two congressmen talking about this and using cursing language that they were happy, gleeful that the Christians were burned. You remember that? Did you see that? I remember that. See, you only saw it once because, see, the media wants to keep you all in your delusional make-believe reality. We don't dare do anything to show our president a liar, a cheater, whatever it may be. We don't say anything when he's derelict to his duty. No. But castigate everyone who wants to do right. Just a little aside, okay? Mitt Romney is a Mormon. A lot of people say, well, a Mormon, they call themselves Christian. But the evangelicals say, well, they have some strange beliefs. All right, think on this. How many of the evangelicals are Masons at the same time? Lots and lots and lots of them. Okay? Next, think on this, because I want to bring out a point. I have studied the Mormon religion. We lived in Salt Lake for 7 years, and I know it inside and out. And I can tell you that the rituals that they do at the temple in Salt Lake City are nearly the same ones as the Masons do, because the founder of Mormonism was Joseph Smith, who was a 32nd degree Mason. So, that's the pot calling the kettle black. Now then, here's what they hate about Mitt Romney more than anything else. Now, as God looks at it, it's different than judging us for salvation. The Democrats sent out their scum squad to try and get up some scum for an October surprise against Romney, like they did with Bush concerning, oh, well, he had this drunken thing here. Oh, well, you know, whatever what the other one was. They always pull that the day or two before the election. Okay? They went out and they scoured everything. Everything they could find on Mitt Romney. The only thing they found was this, that he was once subpoenaed to court in a divorce case of one of the officers of Bain Capital to testify concerning the value of Bain Capital's stock. That's it. So they hate him because he is more righteous in the letter of the law than any other candidate to run for president in this century. You think about it. How does that stack up to John F. Kennedy? How does that stack up to Wilhelm Clinton? How does that stack up to our current president that we don't know who he is, where he came from, what he studied, what he learned, and all of this sort of thing, and it's all sealed at the expense of $2 million to hide it from the American people, and he has the audacity to say, we will have the most transparent administration ever. See? Now, if Mitt Romney gets in, I hope that God will bless him, because he's going to use things and laws and principles of God to make the economy right. That's not a call to salvation. See? Salvation is over here. God's covenant with the nation is here. And if the leaders in the letter of the law are righteous, God will bless them. Okay? Now, this is not a political campaign for Mitt Romney. I'm just explaining to you the perverseness of this nation and casting God aside, and then someone who may not understand God the way we do, but yet is more righteous than any president candidate that we've had in this century, and they dump on him like he's Satan himself. How far have we gone? And all the liberal Democrats on the East Coast were the first ones to do it. How are they doing with the earthquake, not the earthquake, the hurricane now? Well, they had an earthquake in New York this year too, by the way. Okay? See, men don't realize it. They are always in peril when they get arrogant and haughty and lifted up against God. Because what does the Bible say? The one who exalts himself shall be abased. Now let's see how they recover. Let's see how they do. Pray for them. We're not against them. But you want to know the cause? Then every single individual involved in living in that area needs to get out the Bible, open it up, find out what God says, and find out where you're missing the mark. And then I will tell you who to go see after we take a break.